When 21-year-old University of Washington journalism student Cooper Inveen left for Freetown, Sierra Leone this past June, there were only 30 cases of Ebola in that country. In fact, in the offices of Awoko, the newspaper where Inveen was an intern, they made frequent Ebola jokes. Everything changed in mid-July when Dr. Sheikh Omar Khan died of Ebola. Khan was a major figure in the fight to control spread of the disease. The same day Khan died, the Peace Corps announced it would leave Sierra Leone. The mood in Freetown made a 180-degree turn. Cooper Inveen says that's when the government finally declared a state of emergency.
By the time that the state of emergency got declared, it wasn't like a shock, like, oh, a state of emergency, what does this mean for us? It was, well, finally, let's hope that it's soon enough for this to actually matter. Because, like, now all the bars and nightclubs can't be open at all, totally indefinitely shut down. Motorcycle transportation, which is one of the main modes of transportation in the entire city, is now outlawed from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Why motorcycles?
Well, because when you're hopping on the back of a motorcycle, you're going to, like,
you're touching somebody.
You're directly in contact with them, whereas if you're in a cab, you might be in the back seat or something.
So were you ever worried about getting Ebola yourself?
No, never. Not once.
You were never worried?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's why I was kicking and screaming the whole time they were trying to pull me out, was just because it was like, from being on the ground in Freetown, again, this is my personal opinion, I feel that certain aspects of large-scale mainstream media have kind of skewed the danger in Freetown. Like, sure, there are sporadic cases popping up in Freetown, but the, like, 8 that we've had is nothing compared to the 2 million population. And, like, most of the people who are dying, as much as this is just terrible to say, are doctors, nurses, and other health workers.
Well, you've also written about it. You briefly mentioned that part of what led to the fear, that climate of fear in Freetown, was when the Peace Corps announced that it was pulling out its Peace Corps workers. And you wrote pretty extensively about that. I'm curious how that affected sort of the feet on the ground people, because it sounds like it wasn't just fear, but it was looking at the U.S. and U.S. citizens who might have been in that country differently than before that announcement was made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I got word of the Peace Corps leaving actually before the original announcement was made. One of my friends who was a Peace Corps stationed in the eastern part of the country, he'd send me a text message and was just like, dude, they're pulling me out. I'm so upset. I don't know what to do. It was a really quick process. Like, they told him that he'd have like a whole week, and then the next day pretty much just woke him up and were like, come on, let's go, we're leaving today. And so from the perspective of people on the ground who really, really do love the Peace Corps and the work that they do up country, like, are all kind of like, well, historically, Peace Corps didn't leave until the very last minute when it came to the war. So the fact that they're leaving now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for right now? And so that day, every one of my friends was telling me, Cooper, you need to go. You need to leave. You need to get out. These are all my local friends. I was just telling them, like, what? Why? No. I mean, you can't leave. Why should I be allowed to leave? That's just stupid. We've been here as brothers for months. Why would I just step out and dip when the going gets bad? And they're like, well, that's just because that's what you guys do. America cares a lot about its citizens, and you need to leave because that's just what Americans do. You guys leave when it gets bad here. And it's just like, wow, man. I mean, like, I don't know, it affected me in a really weird way because nobody could even wrap their heads around the fact that I would want to stay. They just could not understand it.
And you did not leave when the Peace Corps left, but ultimately the University of Washington stepped in and said, hey, Cooper Inveen, you have to come home. And what went through your head when they said that to you?
Well, the whole dialogue began when the Peace Corps left. I got a phone call from a couple administrators at the university, or a professor and administrator, saying that, well, pretty much they were just like, well, tell us why we shouldn't pull you out right now. And I switched into panic mode and ended up ranting to these poor people for about 45 minutes about how many times that day I had washed my hands. But we ultimately got to the decision where they said that they would let me stay if we upped my contact measures with them and the university. I got to the point where for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I was every day having to write them emails saying where I went, what I ate, just to prove to them, I guess, that I wasn't eating bushmeat. But yeah, after about a week and a half of that, I thought I was safe and fine. And I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, got an email from one of those administrators, called him up, and he was like, it's time to come home. And I remember just being so kind of delirious given the hour of the night, and I was just sitting there just like, what, no, I mean, what do you mean, why? And I remember my first initial thought was, well, I already have a plane ticket bought for September 5th. What happens if I just say no? And they were like, well, I mean, respectfully, we would take your opinion into consideration. You're an adult and everything, but we wouldn't be able to have ties with you, so we'd have to cut your health insurance, and we wouldn't be able to pay for your flight back. And so...
So essentially, they forced your hand.
That's the way I feel about it. In their mind, I had a choice, but it didn't seem like much of a choice to me.
Cooper Inveen is with me. He's a University of Washington journalism student who spent several months reporting for the Awoko newspaper in Freetown, Sierra Leone. It was part of an internship program. So you came back. It's still really fresh in your mind, obviously. What kind of contact have you had with your friends there?
Pretty much constant contact over the internet. One thing that, like, texting is really expensive out there, but data costs nearly nothing. And so pretty much everybody who can downloads an app called WhatsApp, where they can constantly communicate and text with these large chat rooms and all this stuff. So just constant contact with everybody. I know pretty much everything exactly when it happens. Unfortunately, the biggest spread of rumors and everything kind of comes through WhatsApp and WhatsApp groups, so I don't know if everything that I'm getting is true because I'm not, you know, working at a newspaper anymore.
What did your friends think when you told them that you were leaving?
It was a really heartbreaking thing for everybody. It wasn't just me that was devastated by the whole thing. The deputy editor at the paper, he was upset. He had been pushing really hard for me not to leave. I mean, everybody was. I remember one of my friends my age that worked outside of the paper that I knew, was particularly upset because he thought, okay, well, you're the last one left, and now you're going too. So. Does that mean that's it? Everybody's just given up? Oh, man. The night before I left, I was sitting in my room with him, and we were just sitting there on the bed just trying to talk through the fact that I was leaving, that he was going to be okay, that I knew that he was going to be okay. And then in the middle of our conversation, we each get a buzz with our phone, open it up, and look at WhatsApp, and there's this message with this photo of... this guy named Dr. Cole, who was the leading AIDS specialist in the country. His photo, his bio, and then it ends with, like, and yesterday he was declared positive for Ebola, which we all knew. And then today, just a few hours later, he had died. And then it ended with, at the end of the message, in Creole, it read, which is the local dialect, it read, God help us all because Ebola's in Freetown. And it was just a really, really hard-hitting moment. And then... That was 2 days before I left, and then the next day, there was an Ebola case about 50 yards up the street from my house, and like that's the hardest part about being home, is having to talk to my friends and act like everything's okay and that everything's the same. There's not really that impact that's there anymore of me saying you're going to be okay, everything's going to be okay, because I'm not talking about myself anymore. I'm this onlooker from a distance, just being like, oh, just chin up, everything's going to be cool.
Cooper Inveen is a University of Washington journalism student. He came back from Sierra Leone about 10 days ago. He was an intern there with the newspaper Awoko in Freetown. Inveen says he plans to go back to Sierra Leone next summer to continue his reporting.